Welcome to Alliant International University's podcast on the changing nature of work. This podcast was produced in April 2020 by organizational psychology master's and PhD students mentored by Professor Denise Lopez. The goal of our podcast is to provide listeners with insights about how technology and social trends are transforming work and how leaders can respond constructively to balance employee and business needs. Our fourth episode is entitled Artificial Intelligence for Recruitment and Selection, featuring Tanya Amirian, Landon Cruz, Jenny Chu, and George McCurchan, with special guest speaker Dr. Kenneth Roberts from the Perpetualant Institute. They will be discussing how artificial intelligence has evolved over the years to play a more significant role in talent selection and assessment. They will also discuss ethical considerations in the adoption, implementation, and acceptance of AI in people analytics, recruitment, and selection.
Welcome, everyone, to the continuation of our podcast series, The Changing Nature of Work. Our topic today is the world of AI and recruitment and selection. Here with me today are my fellow graduating organizational psychology students, Tanya, who has a background in cognitive science and interest in the tech world and all it has to offer the business world. Jenny, who has a background focused in psychology and social behavior and healthcare. George, who has a background in healthcare fields. And myself, Landon, I have a military background with about 8 years of experience and interest in change management. We're also joined by our guest speaker, Dr. Kenneth Roberts. And Dr. Roberts, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, thank you so much, Landon. Just a little background on me. I earned my PhD in education in 2016 with a specialization in training and performance improvement from Capella University. I had been consulting, though, for many years and had a desire to complete a terminal degree within my field of study. And shortly after completing my PhD, I applied for and was granted a certification in human performance technology. And my dissertation focused on human performance improvement in the small to medium-sized business sector in the United States. And I'll end with that and turn it back over to you relative to questions.
Well, thank you for that. You have an illustrious background in the subject we're talking about today, so that's fantastic. Your views on learning as a continuous process without an expiration date really align with our own, so we hope that this episode will enlighten us all. Thank you, Dr. Roberts, for joining us, and we're excited to hear your insights. So let's start with a brief history of AI in the workplace. Through my research, I found that there are a couple of dates in which we call AI its pseudo-birthday. The first would be 1950. I've read that the birthday for modern AI is considered 1950 because before this point, computers really could not store commands. They could only execute them. And this was the really turning point where AI really was birthed. Now, AI, as far as recruitment in the workplace, or recruitment and selection, really started in 2017, according to Fortune magazine. And so this is where we started using it to actually recruit and employ new talent. There is a multitude of uses for AI in recruitment and selection, including parsing applicants, which has become something easy to do for recruiters and other HR employees using criteria and queries. So basically, a hiring profile are built and designed, and then these criteria and queries are stored by the AI and executed against to find as many applicants as possible. Finding highly qualified applicants via the old-fashioned way, which is where a human would send out emails and phone calls and try and reach as many applicants as possible, is far outdated as compared to AI, which can reach up to, I think what I read was 12,000 applicants, and I think a fraction of the time. So AI can reach more applicants faster than a human, which leads me to my first question. AI arose out of the necessity to process big data. For instance, 12,000 applications for about 40 positions, according to Fortune. Do you think there will be a generational divide between those that will accept AI in recruitment and those that will not? Why or why not?
That's a great question, Landon. Here's my response. AI has really experienced many springs and winters in its roughly 60-year history, and it's pretty safe to expect the current AI spring season to be lasting and very fertile. And that's cited by Gutza, Harvey, and Greenwood in 2017 in their publication entitled Cognitive Collaboration, Why Humans and Computers Think Better Together. As part of what I referred to as AI tech, which I mentioned is comprised of a number of intelligent and intuitive technologies, data modeling creates a tool to analyze large quantities of data to perform this big data analytics, or what people are calling BDA as an acrostic. Artificial intelligence, or AI, is enabled by having access to these large pools of data. So AI will work hand in hand with data analytics, where key contributions are derived from data mining. In terms of the generational divide, let's evaluate that. As mentioned, we have roughly 160 million people in the workforce, with about 17 million out of work, or up to 22 million, with a third of Americans working for themselves as entrepreneurs. Our working generations consist of, as we know, baby boomers. They were born 1948 to 64. And we're really experiencing the last wave of actively working baby boomers who haven't retired. Then next we have Gen Xers, born 1965 to 79, then millennials, born 1980 to 1994, and then finally Gen Zers, born 1995 to 2015. So when we say accepting AI in recruitment, we need to address two perspectives. This perspective of a candidate seeking employment and the perspective of the organization sourcing for talent. Does that make sense? So based on the use of technology and the inclination of more recent working generations, they're more likely, I would say, they would have an expectation that AI will play an integral role in the vetting process. Now, on the other hand, there is a propensity for older workers to view AI's interactive involvement as less personal, programmed, and quite possibly a thought of AI being biased. And I know we may touch on that later. So quite possibly generating a negative experience regarding the organization itself, sourcing for the talent, and really developing some personal anxiety during the hiring process. Now, to avoid misconceptions and unintended associations, organizations are going to need to ensure they have a very robust orientation process that clearly explains the role of AI and how it interacts and is involved in the vetting process and the value from data collected using that AI technology. That's my response to your question.
That makes sense. All right. Well, according to the guest author for HR Trends, AI can be dated back to antiquity. Yet the focus of AI in recruitment really started in 2017. Do you think that we could have started this trend earlier?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say AI dates to antiquity, but based on some research from Lai and Du in 2017 in their publication, Artificial Intelligence with Uncertainty, and it was really their second edition. In the 21st century, the widespread applications, Landon, of the internet and cloud computing, intelligent computing sharing, the interaction, and really swarm intelligence, which is a convergence of intelligent factors toward a specific discipline, which have really revolutionized our lives, indicating the arrival of really a new era of AI. But to your question, I personally don't believe we could have started as effectively as we are attempting to do so now. The technology has changed. It's morphed, as mentioned, to include swarm intelligence. It has connective tissue now to widespread applications deemed essential in recruitment, and really to ensure the accuracy and comprehensiveness of the outcomes. I need to really look and research more specifically about software that is collaboratively being joined together in the evaluation process. But I'm confident that AI is working with learning management software or LMS systems to best evaluate the level of expertise and skill. Therefore, I believe the timing was best served in the last few years.
Great, that answers it rather comprehensively, I might add. Great, now Tanya will discuss the topic of AI in the workplace and how it's being utilized for recruitment and selection in particular.
Thank you, Dr. Roberts and Landon, for starting off so strong. So I'm going to be focusing on AI in selection and recruitment in relation to today's advancements. So I'm going to start off with automated candidate sourcing, one of the many ways AI is being used now in recruitment and selection, and a very interesting way to say the least. So 46% of companies struggle with finding and attracting the right candidates for their open positions, which is alarming considering the massive amounts of people that apply to jobs and their resumes are never looked at. And people know their resumes are not being looked at because the new portals that people use to apply, you can see things and activities that are being happening, that are being taken place. Even if we know where to look for candidates, it's quite time consuming to reach out and look through all candidates as a recruiter, as a human recruiter. New systems make it possible to look at over 30 million profiles and give us an idea of which candidates really meet our requirements and are good candidates to start looking at them deeper. And so what automated candidate sourcing has done for us is it looks through all these resumes and applications and completely automates the whole process of screening, setting up appointments, and can even send personalized messages to applicants to keep them interested in the position that they applied for. So my question here is, with this increased capability of automation and recruitment and the systems that are meant to gather more candidates, will this replace recruiters in the future?
Very good question, Tanya. And I've been contemplating this. I certainly believe recruiting will be different. And really in terms of the interactive part recruiters have provided in the past, I believe those roles will morph to better engage with potential candidates. I also believe the process of recruiting will be streamlined, such that it's going to really take less time for recruiters to accomplish several repetitive tasks that may have taken longer to process and complete. So the bottom line here is speed of execution will impact the role of recruiters, but not necessarily replace them.
I completely agree. Thank you for that. The other question I have centers around candidate rediscovery, which is the capability of AI systems to go into the bank of previous applicants and screen them again for new positions. It's very expensive, as we know, to find candidates, to post on job boards, to find the right talent. This cost of ignoring problem represents hundreds, thousands, and even millions of resumes that the recruiting department has invested considerable amounts of money, time, and effort collecting over time, only to sit and be neglected in an ATS system. So, instead of a keyword, candidate rediscovery uses a machine learning algorithm. You enter a job description of a current requirement, and the algorithm will automatically screen through resumes in an ATS and find more qualified candidates that you've already sourced. So systems make sure candidates don't slip through the cracks when recruiters are manually looking at resumes one by one. So with hiring volume predicted to increase, but recruiting teams predicted to remain the same size or even shrink, as we were talking about previously, recruiters have been needing resources like candidate rediscovery to find qualified candidates, which got me thinking old methods have left people undiscovered and unhappy with this whole process. Does AI complete the hiring process for candidates?
I don't believe AI will complicate the hiring process. I believe it will enrich the process. I think it will provide an intake of pertinent data specific to the job, perspectives on the organization's culture and fit. And I believe it'll attempt to align the values of the prospective candidate with those of the organization doing the sourcing.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Roberts. Now, Jenny will be discussing the ethical issues that can come up with AI, as we previously talked about, when dealing with employees in the workplace. Go ahead, Jenny.
Hi, thank you, Tanya, and thank you, Dr. Roberts, for some insightful information. So speaking about AI in recruitment and selection, the ethical dilemma is really whether AI recruitment tools have the potential to harm or unfairly disadvantage candidates, especially when they're not aware of it. Supposedly, when using AI, it is used to find the right person for the right role more faster and more efficient than before. But then sometimes if the data is biased and the algorithms is not sufficiently audited, AI can only exacerbate the problem of the bias in the hiring and homogeneity in the organization. In a recent article, it mentions that AI is a system that mirrors the behavior of the organization. And with that being said, Dr. Roberts, what are the key considerations that organizations should be looking into when introducing or even implementing AI into their recruitment process?
Well, Jenny, that's a weighted question, and I'll try to answer it with as much gravity as it actually weighs. Organizations need to ask themselves, they need to conduct an inquiry, and that is ask themselves, what's the intent of integrating AI? And respond to that comprehensively relative to the injection point. They need to ask what level of AI complexity, because there will be different complexity levels of AI. As I mentioned previously, all of the AI tech and technocentric offerings will be tiered. They will be tiered. So there will be certain levels of complexity. So the question of what level of AI complexity will be evaluated to enhance the targeted process. The next question they should ask is, what are the desired outcomes? We've seen digital transformation efforts abound, but then again, we've also been asked by top executives, what's been my return on investment? That's, of course, another topic, but they need to ask, what are the desired outcomes? Secondarily, how best to introduce the concept and the technology? That's always important. And then which part, once again, from a targeted perspective, which part of the recruitment process will AI be infused into? And this could be the sourcing component that you talked about, where there's a lot of speed of execution. Could be the onboarding component, where actually candidates have been selected, and now we're actually onboarding them into the cultural components of the organization, as well as the strategic fit of the assigned role. Or it could be in the orientation process, which is a deeper dive spanning total offerings from the organization to the new hire.
So with that being said, understanding that AI is an algorithm, many AI systems uses real people to model their successes in certain roles, which are usually identified as like high performers. And using that, they establish like a data set to create their AI system. So in order to remain unbiased, and there needs to be unbiased data to be integrated in the AI, who bears the burden of automation? And what I mean is, who is responsible for the things that slip through the cracks, and what are steps that should be taken?
That's a sensitive topic, especially the diversity issues. Harnessing fast technology really should be anchored within the IT department. And this is about becoming a digital organization and changing the culture of the organization to embrace digital transformation. Senior or executive leadership, they also own the process of integration. Therefore, they should be surveyed upfront. I really have to emphasize the importance of surveying the executive team upfront relative to the organization's readiness and ability to adopt and adapt to changes in traditional areas of operation, which for the most part, what we're discussing falls in the human resource management area. You know, adoption speed should be measured relative to its effectiveness to quality, accuracy, and results. So the key question is, can they envision themselves as a digital organization? If they don't know, they need to. There should really always be a time to beta the potential solution before a full rollout. And this is why I mentioned IT before being anchored within the IT group. This really needs to be project managed and monitored. But first, there should be an assessment of what people need to function optimally in the digital AI world. And to that end, some type of skills development may be appropriate, you know, to enhance problem-solving skills, collaborative skills, critical thinking skills. You know, I believe when you do this to those responsible for its integration and deployment, you generate a richer offering and ensure the right customer experience, in this case, both for internal and external participants.
You actually hit quite a few great points that are really worth looking into. So now we're going to head into George. We'll be discussing the new and emerging trends for AI in recruitment and selection in the workplace.
Great insights. Now let's look into the future. And I know we've touched upon some of this already before, but we're going to look at some of the emerging trends, at least that I've found in AI in recruitment and selection. Research hasn't really had enough empirical evidence to show that there's any validity in using AI when selecting candidates. And most of the articles that I actually did review constantly brought up there needs to be more research done and that there's not enough research. But there was two major themes that I actually came across. The first one was how AI will be integrated in recruitment and selection and the biases that comes with using AI. So let me tackle the first bit. An article by Lisa Ardeling titled The Future of Recruitment and Why AI Will Be Pivotal in Making New Hires highlights one important thing. And it states, in an ideal world, companies will be able to match candidates with employment opportunities in a way that is mutually beneficial. When we see some of this today with like temp agencies looking for candidates, and they match their employment skills with the jobs available. But it goes far beyond that. And it's websites like LinkedIn, Glassdoor, and Indeed actually all use AI to basically match job titles and candidates together to make a cohesive and mutually type of system so that they can get hired very quickly. And in the future, we'll actually see a stronger and more robust AI making more adequate and accurate decisions based on the data that's being gathered now. Who's to really say that AI is making the correct choices? We're all assuming that AI doesn't have any bias or that it's incapable of making biased decisions. Yet we as humans are the ones who are actually programming the AI and its algorithms. And we humans tend to have a lot of bias. In another article titled, How Organizations Can Help Shape the Future of AI in Recruiting and Reap Its Benefits, one quote actually really stood out to me. The first step in building machines is for purely objective rather than subjective recruiting processes is to consciously understand our own biases. It not only involves the what, but the how. So if we're going to make HR technology that humans share biases, we're going to need to understand more about what kind of biases that it comes in. This leads to my questions for you, Dr. Roberts. AI is programmed by humans who have biases, yet organizations have indicated that AI is unbiased and they repeatedly use it when making decisions. How can we attempt to create unbiased AI for recruitment and selection?
I'm going to answer it from a 70,000 foot view, and I'll refer to someone. As many of you know, I used to work for the International Business Machines Corporation, IBM. And so I'm going to refer to Jeannie Rometty, chairman and CEO of IBM. And she stated, "We face an imminent, profound transformation of the workforce. AI will be the issue of our time, and education fundamentally revamped to address it." End of quote. Therefore, humans are going to need to act responsibly and without bias. This may mean we have the checks and balances in place, George, to ensure the integrity and transparency of AI programming specific to the onboarding and recruitment initiatives we're talking about today.
I totally agree with you on that, Dr. Roberts. But do you think there will be a need for new technological advancements, or are we comfortable with where we are at?
Well, new technological advancements will continue, especially when it comes to the nature of work we envision in the future, specifically based on the insurgence of advancing intelligent and intuitive technologies. So how can we really attempt to create this unbiased AI for recruitment and selection? And really, this is an easy, hard question. The bigger question is, how do we change human biases? Can it be altered with proper training and professional development? I believe it can. With learning quotients focused on cognitive skills development linked directly to optimization requirements when working with these types of intelligent technologies. Now, to your point, George, I recently reviewed a McKinsey Global Institute publication. It was drafted last year, and its title is Tackling Bias in AI and in Humans. The growing use of artificial intelligence in sensitive areas, including the hiring process, criminal justice, and healthcare, has really stirred this debate about bias and fairness. Yet, human decision-making in these and other domains can also be flawed, shaped by individual and societal biases that are often unconscious. And so there are several resources developed regarding this particular AI fairness. And there are a number of them in the article. I'll just cite a few. The AI Now Institute at New York University. There's the European Commission's report on ethics and guidelines. Microsoft has released guidelines for conversational AI bots and so forth to treat people fairly. IBM has released some components of AI Fairness 360, and the list goes on. There's also the Algorithmic Justice League. And so just looking at that, there's no silver bullet or quick fix can solve the challenge of bias, George. While, you know, researchers and practitioners across disciplines are making progress in identifying how AI can reduce some of these disparities caused by human bias and deploy AI more fairly, more progress really is needed. And so how should an organization help shape or change AI? This involves some existential considerations. So philosophically, you know, in nature, this reverts to the structure and business model of the organization. We haven't talked about that. There's a lot of replatforming taking place in businesses today, especially adopting digital transformation and AI insurgence. Since so much with AI is emerging and converging at the same time, the ecosystem of learning and development is tethered to HR, which also houses the recruitment of new employees, our point subject today. Now, merging these two ecosystems requires keen awareness of unconscious tendencies. The good news, and there is some good news, many recruitment initiatives involve a level of testing to determine how best to generate trusted data. I'll say this lastly, I would embark on discovery-driven planning cycles to ensure bias is carved out of any AI recruitment process by collecting all build-out data in advance, assemble proposed models, and then try to break it apart with variables that might filter in due to human bias.
Well, there you have it. We want to thank you, Dr. Roberts, for joining us and providing our listeners with great insights. We hope everyone tunes in to our next episode on virtual reality and training.